Please turn your Bibles again to Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, as we'll be looking at that this morning. This will be our text. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what did you learn from your mother? As you think about that question, there may be a few different responses. Some of you are able to look back with good memories. Your mother was faithful and brought you up in the Lord. She served you breakfast every morning and got you to do your devotions each night. She prayed for you. She provided for your needs. Or you may have less fond memories of your mother. Perhaps you didn't grow up in a Christian home. And yet others may have no memory at all of what their mother was like. She may have passed away before you really knew her. Depending on what has happened in our lives, we all have different responses to this question. But though we all may have different experiences, all of us today have to see that what the Lord has taught us through joy and pain by His providence. We all are blessed to be here today and know that God has been good to us and calling us to Himself in Christ. Today we are looking at a painting. Proverbs 31 is a portrait of a woman of excellence. I think it is fair to say that as we consider this Proverbs 31 woman, that she is quite a woman to imitate. And perhaps we're asking ourselves this morning, who can really be like this? She's an ideal wife in an ideal home in an ideal society. And perhaps you're saying to yourself this morning, ladies, this is not me. I can't be like this. I could never be like this. It's just not possible. But before we start to sigh with discouragement or write her off as some kind of dream woman that no one can attain, we have to remember a couple of very important points. One is that this is a poem written in praise of a godly woman. In other words, what Bible scholars tell us is that this text has a striking similarity to a hymn. And that's really what it is. It is a hymn written to praise a wife of noble character. According to the Bible and according to this book, a God-fearing woman is honored. She is to be praised by her husband. She is to be praised by her children. She is to be honored in society. We as the church today ought to speak highly and honor women who pattern themselves after the Word of God. And so one of the most important features of this text is that it is a poem written in praise of a godly woman. Another very important point to note is that this is a portrait or a blueprint. While some may see this merely as an ideal woman that no one can attain, other scholars and writers have recognized that there's more that's going on here than a description of an ideal woman. As Derek Kidner says, this lady's standard is not implied to be reached by all. For example, not all women may have the same kind of material resources as this woman had. They may not have the same gifts. And neither can this passage be used as a standard for men to use against their wives. In fact, this is not just addressing women. This is speaking to everyone. It's speaking to boys, to young men, and to husbands. Here is a blueprint or portrait of domestic life And in order to appreciate wisdom, and in order to appreciate the Lord's very best for us, we have this picture, this guideline of a godly woman. And thus I want to set before you this portrait and to highlight three qualities found in this woman of excellence. First of all, consider her character. Proverbs 31 is an acrostic. What is an acrostic? An acrostic is a type of writing where each line begins with a certain letter. Our text is made up of 22 verses because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This portrait of the excellent woman is a poem that is alphabetically arranged. All 22 letters of the alphabet are found in these verses. Verse 10 begins with the letter Aleph. Verse 11 begins with the letter Beth. Verse 12 begins with the letter Gimel. And so on. This poem is organized this way to provide for us the ABCs of a godly woman. It's written this way in order for us to easily memorize it, just like other parts of Scripture. There are several acrostic poems in the Bible. Probably the best example of one would be Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is written as an alphabetic poem. Each section works through the Hebrew alphabet. It's organized this way to make it easy to memorize, but also to provide the ABCs of the law of God. Why is Proverbs 31 written this way? Well, it's written this way to highlight the character of a godly woman. What makes a woman attractive? Think about that for a moment. The one message that our culture preaches with an earnest to girls, to women, and to men alike is that physical beauty is what matters more than inward beauty. In her book, Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free, Nancy Lee DeMoss speaks about the lie that women believe about themselves. The lie is that physical beauty matters more than inner beauty. It's a message that comes to us from virtually every angle. From television, movies, music, magazines, books, and advertisements. They all paint a portrait of what really matters. And what really matters most for women, they insist, is physical beauty. What matters most for a woman is physical attraction. If she looks good, she feels good. If she's outwardly beautiful, then she is acceptable. But if physical beauty is to be esteemed above the beauty of the heart, this leaves men and women with a very flawed view of what makes a woman attractive. It leads to immodest dress. It leads to promiscuity. It leads to flirtatious behavior. It leads to envy and competition for who can be the most beautiful. It puts the focus where it shouldn't be most of all on physical beauty. It's a lie, and a lie that many people are believing, even those within the church. Sometimes young women in the church place more value on physical external beauty than they do on their own hearts. And so let me ask the young ladies here this morning, what is most important to you? The way that you look on the outside or the hidden person of the heart? Is Hollywood your standard or the Word of God? Sometimes guys in the church are too focused on externals. They pursue women from the world when they should be pursuing godly women within the church. Let me ask the young men here today, What kind of woman are you looking forward to meeting? What standards are you using to find a good wife? Are you making it your goal to marry a woman of the church? The Word of God tells us the truth about physical beauty. We see it here in this passage. Verse 30 of this passage says, "Charm is beautiful, charm rather is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Now, is this saying to us today that physical beauty is somehow sinful? Is this saying that you should wear clothing that makes you look dumpy, that you shouldn't do your hair or wear makeup? Nowhere does the Bible condemn physical beauty or suggest that outward appearance doesn't matter. What God is concerned about is people taking pride in their outward appearance and neglecting their hearts. What God is concerned about is guys putting more importance on the way a woman dresses and looks, and not being concerned about the character of a woman and pursuing a woman of character. God is concerned when women care more about what they look like in the mirror to the neglect of their character. One of the things that we always have to avoid is the pendulum swing, moving from one extreme to the next. We have to remember that God has made a woman who she is. She is feminine. She is made to be lovely and attractive. She is someone who reflects the church. She is like the bride of Christ. That doesn't mean that she dresses like the world and follows the standards of the world. She is careful in how she adorns herself. If anything, the portrait of the woman presented to us is not indifferent to the way that she looks. Look with me at a couple of verses that describe her. Verse 17, for example, says, "She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms." That means she's vigorous and tireless. She is in shape. She works hard physically. She is not weak. Verse 22 also says, "She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." This virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is not wearing jogging pants all day. She wants to look good for her husband. She wants to reflect that wonderful relationship between her and her husband, which is that relationship between Christ and the church. The Word of God provides us this balance. Consider 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. It gives us that balance between the inner heart of a woman and her outward attire. It says, "In like manner, also, the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." They are to be modest and pure in the way they dress. They're not to draw the wrong kind of attention to themselves. Instead, they are to draw attention to their character and to their heart. And that brings us back to that question I asked earlier. What makes a woman attractive? And the answer is found in this portrait of a woman of excellence. Verse 10 asks the question, who can find a virtuous wife? And the rest of the text answers by describing her character. Notice with me this morning how this text highlights the noble character of a godly wife. It says that she is trustworthy. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her so that he will have no lack of gain." She inspires confidence in her husband. He doesn't have to come home worried that she's gone out on a crazy shopping spree and wasted his money. She's a capable woman. She inspires confidence in him. He has no reason to suspect her of anything. She's also a caring person, verse 12 says. She does him good and not evil in the days of her life. She's not like Solomon's wives who drew his heart away with idolatry. Or like Jezebel who influenced her husband, King Ahab, to sin and wickedness. Or like Job's wife who told her husband to curse God and die. She's not like Rachel who loved Jacob but brought idolatry into her family. Or like Michael who did good to David at first by saving his life but did evil to him later on, despising him. This is not a picture of an overbearing, brawling woman who wears the pants in the family and rules over her husband. She's concerned about her husband's comfort and interests. She's also industrious. She works hard for her household. Verse 15 says, notice, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She's responsible. She sees to it that food and clothing are provided. And she's also wise. She gives good counsel. Notice how verse 26 describes her. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's known for her good, practical, common sense in the way and what she says. Her instruction is reliable. What she says is important, and her husband listens to her. She's a wise woman because she serves a wise Lord. She feeds on His Word and lives by that Word in her life. This is a catalog of a lovely, godly character in a wise and caring woman. She's to be valued by the church and by society. She's to be the ideal for every teenage girl, single woman, or married woman. She is to be every young man's dream woman. She's a great blessing. If you are a mother today, is this kind the kind of woman that you are seeking to be? If you are a teenage girl, are you using the Word of God as your guide for your character? And if you are a young man in search of a woman, are you looking and praying for a Proverbs 31 woman? May we see the importance of a godly character in women, and may we use the Word of God as our standard for her character. But secondly, consider her priority. Not only is this woman a person of character, she is wise, useful, and busy in her domestic realm. Notice how she performs her tasks for her family. Her needle is at the service of her family. She makes sure that her children are dressed and have enough clothing. Verse 13, listen to what it says. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Verse 21 says, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes sure that her family has enough food to eat, even to share with others who might be in need. Verse 15 says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She lives a well-ordered life. She's not spending her energies in areas that waste her time. She's not talking all day on the phone and socializing when she could be using her time better. Neither is she spending her whole day on Facebook. Her personal habits are full of energy. She's up early in the morning and late at night. She's not afraid of manual labor when necessary. Neither is her husband sitting all day while at the city gates expecting her to do all the work. He's at a place of honor. He's amongst the elders of the city, and he's called to give judgment. He comes home at night to a woman who works hard and praises her for this. She even has the ability to provide some extra for her family. Mindful of her husband's interests, she considers the value of a field, and if it is of good value, she buys it and plants a vineyard. She's very industrious. She even sells some of her merchandise for a profit. She's like a tireless worker. She keeps on going in the strength that she's given. Now, as I said earlier, perhaps women might be tempted to think that they could never be like this. They could never work as hard as this woman. One of the typical complaints of a wife is that she is so busy. There's no time to do everything that she's supposed to be doing. She's got so much going on in her family, and she is tired. Well, there are a couple things we have to remember. Not every woman may be able to reach this standard. Not every woman has the same amount of energy or strength. Some are strong. Others are weak. Some have more energy. Others not as much. We live in a fallen world. We're not all created equally and cannot all do the same things as another. And you don't have to feel guilty for this. The point is to do your best and to do it for the honor of the Lord. So we have to remember that this woman is a symbol of wisdom, and not every woman can do what this woman can do. We also have to remember the priority of the Proverbs 31 woman. She is spending her time and her energy on what she has been created to do. I was reading last week that the average woman has the equivalent of 50 full-time servants in the form of modern time-saving devices and equipment. That figure may not be entirely accurate, but we certainly do have many conveniences that are available to us that were not to the past generation, certainly not to these days of ancient Israel. Not only do we have fridges and stoves, washers and dryers. We have microwaves, KitchenAids, blenders, coffee makers, deep fryers, bread makers, slow cookers, irons, robotic vacuum cleaners, sewing machines. Not to mention the fact that we may have a second or third vehicle in the driveway. Why then the stress? Why are our lives so harried? Perhaps it's because we have forgotten our priorities. What is the priority of a godly woman? It's the work that the Lord has given her to do. In all that this Proverbs 31 does here, she is focused on her home. She provides food for her household. Even the extra work that she does is for the purpose of providing for her house. She doesn't overdo it. She's keeping within that priority. And in that way, she's able to spend her energy in areas where she needs to spend them. She's not feeling guilty for not being able to help all those good Christian causes. She still has so many other things, even when she has so many other things on her plate. When she has to keep the house clean and organized, feed the kids, be involved in school and community, keeping up with the current events and reading books. Obviously, There are different seasons in life. God's calling for someone in their 40s is going to be different for someone in their teens. Not everyone has the same amount of responsibility or work that's placed upon them. And these aren't always the same for every person. The important thing is the priority of doing what you're supposed to do. There also is only so much time during the day and during the week, and you cannot do everything. You have to focus on what the Lord has assigned you to do and keep your priorities. Obviously, we're not saying that it is wrong for a woman to try to earn a little extra on the side if she's able to. This is what this virtuous woman did as well. But remember her priority. It is to be a helper and companion to her husband. She hasn't fallen for the lie of the world that a career outside of the home is more valuable than being a wife and a mother. Her priority and mission is to build her home. She's centered on her home because that is what a homemaker is. Consider this Proverbs 31 woman. She is utterly selfless. She's not seeking self-fulfillment. She isn't interested in advancing her career or building her bank account or being known for her personal accomplishments. On the contrary, she seems unconcerned about her own interests and needs. She focuses instead on how she can meet the needs of her husband and children, as well as others in the community. While the world may be screaming out how the woman has been liberated from the slavery of the domestic and submission to their husbands, the Word of God praises a woman for her virtue, for her priority on the home, and for her submission to her husband. It's not easy to have to wake up in the night to nurse your child. It's not easy to have to wake up for a child who has just had a nightmare or who has thrown up all over his bed and on the floor. But the Lord praises you for this. The woman of Proverbs 31 rises while it is yet night. Her lamp does not go out by night. I think of some of the older generation of women who had piles of laundry to wash and only had a wringer washer and a clothesline. They darned socks and patched up knees on pants. The world might look at this as simple foolishness, but the Lord doesn't. He praises the woman who clothes her children. Think of all the good and godly and virtuous women who have done this. Think of their legacy. That's a legacy that has to be carried on to the next generation. And so how about us? How about wives and mothers here today? Are you remaining focused on your priority? Let's consider the Word of God today. Let's be thankful for this lovely portrait of a godly woman, for her character and for her priority. For not only do we see her virtues, lastly, consider her value. The passage begins by asking the question, who can find a virtuous woman? There is no price tag. There is no money value. Her worth is beyond rubies. As we see from the end of this poem, her children are happy about her. They rise up early and call her blessed. Is that something that you are doing today, children? Are you thanking your mom for all that she does for you? Have you told her specifically that you are thankful and glad for all that she does for you as your mom? It's not just children who praise her. Her husband also is crazy about her. He is faithful to her. He feels she is one in a million. And he tells her this. He brags about her to his friends. He says, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Husbands, let me ask you today, are you also valuing your wives? Are you praising them and speaking well of them? Not in just what you do for them, but in what you say to them. Are you showing your love and care to them with your words? The Word of God encourages us to speak well of them and to value them. Because if we don't, they will look to someone else to be valued. The Word of God also says that you ought not to be harsh with your wife. As 1 Peter 3 says, you're to dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. So husbands are called to value their wives. This then is a hymn of praise, and it calls us to praise and honor the godly woman of the church. For charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is a woman who teaches her sons and daughters. She's an example to the church. In a word, she's a blessing. You know, one of the most moving sections of Augustine's Book of Confessions is when Augustine remembers the life and death of his mother, Monica. By her son's account, Monica did not have an easy life. She was, for a time, addicted to alcohol. She became a devout Christian. She later married a gruff pagan man who did not share her Christian faith or character. And perhaps worst of all, her oldest child, Augustine, was wayward and far from the Lord. That wasn't the end of the story, of course. Augustine was converted in Milan and went on to become one of the church's most influential theologians. At her death, Monica explained that she was ready to leave this world because her hope in this world was already fulfilled. She said, "The one reason I wanted to stay longer in this life was my desire to see you a Christian before I die. My God has granted this in a way more than I had hoped." She died at age 56 when Augustine was 33 and had committed himself to the Lord. We may have different stories. We all may remember our mothers for similar reasons, how they taught us what we know, how they taught us the Christian faith, and how they provided for us. But may we take to heart today this portrait of the godly, virtuous woman. May it seep into our lives and affect the way we think about women of the church. And may the women of the church be known for their godly character. May the Lord bless and strengthen the mothers of our congregation and provide for them a love for the domestic. And may we as a church community value them and their place. Amen.